All right, let's get right into it. Talk about John Bon Jovi. Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. Concert God Jimmy Coplick on the show. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Jimmy!
Good, thanks. So we were talking about John Bon Jovi, and we had a soundbite of him talking about being with his girl since high school.
Right, Dorothea.
40 years.
Yes.
And apparently faithful that whole time.
No laugh.
No. Wait, are you ready to dispute that?
No, I'm just...
He's never come on to me.
Oh, well, that's good.
I don't know why, man. It's such a catch. You know, your hair just so blowing in the breeze, wearing that white shirt open. I'm just like, you know, getting kind of weird.
We've hugged a lot.
Right, that's true. Right.
I think it was out of friendship. Right. Now we're getting a little worried, dude.
Did he hold on a little too long sometimes? It's like,
I will tell you, and I'm not trying to bring it everybody down purposely, but he is the only one who hugged me with true passion, the only artist that hugged me with true passion.
The whole time,
my wife,
the whole
passed.
Career.
Now, where did you feel his passion exactly?
Nice.
I'm curious.
Somebody
nice.
Stepped on that line with a joke? Oh.
Yes. Sorry.
No, that's true. It's true. And I was backstage at Mohegan Sun, and he knew about it, and he came over to me, and I'm telling you that hug lasted at least 30 seconds, which is a long hug, and if you count from 1 to 30,
mm-hmm.
and whispered in my ear some things that were very personal, because he had known her too, and I don't doubt the depth of his warmth and the depth of his loyalty, to tell you the truth, so I am sure that he must be right.
That's very nice.
Yeah, and this is...
I can't give you a more personal comment about what you're talking about than that.
Yeah, I stepped on you saying this is the best hug you got, or the most passionate hug you got after your wife passed.
Yes, there were two real meaningful moments that artists gave me when my wife passed 3 years ago. One was with John Bon Jovi, who really hugged me and was very personal about it and very kind about it. And then Ringo Starr... who doesn't touch anybody because he's a germaphobe, but gave me a hug also. Now, it wasn't a 30-second hug. He was probably tremendously uncomfortable knowing his personal habits. But Ringo Starr did the same thing.
Just to get
the only
hug.
Two artists that actually even expressed anything, and not that I blame anybody for not, but I just want to express the ones who did, the ones who were very positive.
Right.
And John was... Now, I've known John since he was, since the 80s.
Yeah, right away.
Yep, since Runaway, you're right. So, but I have to tell you, I don't doubt what he says. I'm telling you, this guy is the real deal, John Bon Jovi. And, I'm not, his music is okay. I don't listen to it at home or anything like that. I don't turn it off when I hear it on the radio, though.
Yeah.
But it's not one of my albums that I play. But nonetheless, so there's nothing personal trying to build his career or anything like that. But... I'm telling you, he is the real deal, John Bon Jovi. And I think he's the reason he's the only, quote, hair band artist that has extended his career this far.
Right. Great songwriting, too.
Yeah, he's not selling real estate
right now. And business, right.
He's doing weekend gigs.
He's not backstage drinking a bottle of Jack.
Right.
Mike on the road.
Hey, how you guys doing? Good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
Not too bad. Hey, listen, I was just telling Phil, I've been to a lot of shows at the Coliseum. Starting out with Kiss in 1978, but I saw Bon Jovi in I think it was 86, Slippery When Wet, top of his game, and I tell everybody the loudest thing I ever heard in the Coliseum was them girls screaming when John Bon Jovi, I'm pretty sure he popped out of the floor, in the beginning intro, and he popped out of the floor.
Yeah.
And it was so loud screaming, I couldn't believe it. It reminded me of those videos you see the Beatles with the girls in hysterics screaming.
It was crazy.
I'm not accusing John of anything, but that was the loudest noise I ever heard at the Coliseum.
They say on occasion, if the moon is right, you can still hear those girls screaming through the echoes through the trees. It's still going through.
He was hitting grand slams all morning, and then about 5 minutes ago, I went...
I'm allowed to bobble out of it now.
You'll be back.
In December, Cinderella was the opening act. If I remember correctly, but I'm not sure of that. But I think Cinderella was the opening act. And it's hard to put my Bon Jovi shows together because he's one of those artists I do hang with backstage. So there's just, they morph into show by show.
Right.
But he not only is a great performer and a great songwriter, he's amazing looking, this guy.
I would agree.
But I'm telling you, this guy is very good looking. And I also admire him because he's one of only two artists that I can think of offhand that has let their hair go gray. And right. I've mentioned that to him.
Yeah.
I've mentioned that to him. Well, last time I saw him, he was letting his hair go gray. And I go, man, you've got confidence because I know so many artists that are 10 or 15 years older than you that still dye their hair.
Like the Rolling Stones, for example.
like
yeah.
everybody else.
But
Except one other artist. I don't know if you know who it is. I know, I've always admired this other artist.
Bob, what's his name? Against the Wind, Bob Seger.
You got it.
Yes.
Very good.
Yeah.
All right, AJ, you're back.
Thank you.
Good man, AJ.
Here's the thing with Bon Jovi. He could pull off coloring his hair because it's full. I mean, it looks like he's 18. It's a full head of hair. So
yeah.
He could color that.
Right.
You know, with a little gray in it, people would not know the difference.
A little salt and pepper look, yes.
He's got a young face.
And I got an email confirming what you're saying, Jimmy. We're talking about John Bon Jovi here. Jimmy Koplik, Live Nation concert, got on the show. This is from Lisa. I'll just say Lisa. Sorry I wanted to call in, but I'm at work regarding John. He really is a faithful guy. I met the entire band down in St. Thomas in the mid-90s at a bar called Barnacle Bill's. I talked to them as if I didn't know who they were. We drank, talked, and laughed for hours. All good guys, but John was the most gentlemanlike. We ran into each other three or four times during the week. Each time he came right over. We shared drinks, talked, and yes, I got a kiss. While hanging at beaches and bars, I heard plenty of women who slept with the band, but no one mentioned John's name.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Does he pay them or I don't know. You keep your mouth shut. Here's some hush money.
No.
I'm kidding. It's a joke.
He's a nice guy.
Right.
Well, Justin Bieber did try that. He was having girls sign like an NDA form before like they would go and like undress and all that. But it didn't work. Like everyone knew. They're like, well, they signed the form. We saw it happen. Because like the other girls that were with this girl that would go and be like, we didn't sign anything. Right. We saw her go in.
Yeah. I'm guessing Jimmy, being the guy backstage at all of these shows, especially at the height of rock and roll shenanigans, has seen some stuff. We'll try to get it out of him. Jimmy Koplik, Live Nation concert guy on the show. And if you want to call in a concert you went to, Jimmy will see what he remembers of it. Connecticut shows are good, and you have to kind of remember when it was.
Be helpful.
Yeah.
A gist.
Help me a little.
You can't say, like, hey, Red Hot Chili Peppers, like in the
90s. That one time, you know?
Yeah. 1-877-764-2535. We're talking about groupies and stuff, and Jimmy, you must have seen some stuff being backstage at all these shows.
Yeah, sometimes a better show is backstage than on stage, to tell you the truth.
More action, ooh. Yeah.
And there were certain artists that that enjoyed, I think, the backstage show more than the onstage show too. And I knew some of them pretty well. But I was like John; I was very faithful and drove home at night and didn't partake. But I have to tell you that there were certain artists, and you know the obvious ones: Motley Crue,
Kiss. Van Halen,
especially David of Van Halen, but Van Halen in general. But they purposely made a backstage show of groupies because it was part of their image. Poison was like that.
Nugent,
and it was fun to watch. But you know, it's not fun to watch anymore because when you see Kiss come around and. I know, I don't want to offend anybody, so I will say this up front. I don't wear what I used to wear 40 years ago.
Right.
My body has changed, and some of these backstage groupies have not looked in a mirror.
Oh.
So they put on what they wore 40 years ago to go backstage, and it's just not such a show anymore.
It's a show, it's a different kind.
Yeah, and I know
it's too much.
Like the word horror comes to mind.
Well, there's... Some can pull it off, and then others can't.
Some can't pull it off.
And it's funny how...
I can't get this off. Those are spanks. Oh, my God. I can't get this off. Someone grab a leg. Come on.
Well, I used to tuck my shirt in. I don't tuck my shirt in anymore. So right. I raised my hand as one of those people that have not kept the same body. So I'm not pointing fingers at anybody.
Right.
But I'm not certainly, you know, anybody who wore black lace backstage, which was really popular back in the 80s.
Yeah.
It's, you know, let your children wear it.
Yeah, you're like a salami hanging from a deli.
Yeah, what's going on in your brain?
Nothing much.
Yeah, I'm guessing you having access to, you know, complete backstage, the entire building must have had offers from groupies.
Yeah, and it was mostly not because of my looks. It was mostly to get into a concert or to get passes or things like that.
You're
I was
gatekeeper.
Being used.
Yeah.
And as I always tell people, who gives a damn if you're being used as long as you're getting enjoyment out of it? But, you know.
It is true, right?
Yeah.
What's
the difference?
I don't care.
Now, I never took anybody up on it because I knew if I ever got caught, first of all, my wife would kill me and I wanted to live a long life. But secondly, my wife was also my high school sweetheart. And there's something really special about that if you stay in love.
Yeah.
Because it's not only your high school sweetheart, it's also your best friend.
Right.
And I'm sure John feels that way about Dorothea. And we talked about how we both married our high school sweethearts. But she was on the road with him many times at Mohegan Sun because she could drive from New Jersey up to Connecticut.
Right.
So it was easy. And also John liked to open tours up. There were certain artists that liked to open their tours up in Connecticut, because they either lived near Connecticut or they trusted the fact that I would do the opening show right. The two most important shows on the tour, the opening show and the closing show. The opening show sets the tour up on the right way. If everything goes right, that's great. The train starts moving along the tracks really well. And the last show is the memory that the artists have of the tour. So I many times have gotten first and last shows of Bon Jovi and Springsteen and a number of other artists that trusted me to do it right.
That's cool.
But also lived in the area. So I saw Dorothea a fair amount of times and the children. And I know John's son, Jesse. My daughter and I have hung out with John and his son, Jesse, a fair number of times. And I've watched Jesse grow up. I haven't seen his daughter very much, but his son, Jesse, I've seen a number of times.
Cool.
We're going to take a break. And I hope Steve from Madison can hold because he has the most unusual question.
Really?
Jimmy's been coming on for years.
Uh-huh. Ooh.
You think you've heard it all.
This will stick out.
I'm
Steve
excited.
From Madison, hold on, please.
Don't go away.
Man, I hope this is a real question because it's unusual.
Okay.
And Jimmy's been coming on the show for so long, been coming on the station since day one.
Right.
I'm sure he's heard it all, or at least until now. Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. I told Jimmy, or I asked him, is it okay if I don't tell you what this question's going to be?
Get the knee-jerk reaction. Yeah.
And I said, what else is new? You never tell me anything anyway.
This right. is true. This
so,
is true.
What the hell?
Just another day.
All right, just checking.
Yeah, right.
All right. So, Steve in Madison.
Hey, morning, guys.
Morning. Good morning.
Jimmy, I was wondering if you knew if James Taylor and Jimmy Buffett go to the same barber.
I don't know.
No, I don't have any idea, but I would guess not, since James Taylor lives in Martha's Vineyard. And Jimmy Buffett probably lives in, where do you think Jimmy Buffett lives?
Florida.
Oh, yeah, Florida.
You know, you think Florida? Okay,
yeah.
Maybe Florida. I was thinking maybe
Florida.
Somewhere in California. You're probably right. Probably lives down in the southern part of Florida. But no,
yeah.
I don't think they go to the same barber.
No.
Why would you ask?
Did you ever see them? They
just a
pretty
hunch.
Much look the same. They're both bald.
They're interchangeable, right?
That's God.
Yeah, really? Yeah, God's the same barber. Yes. Yes.
They didn't have a choice. They didn't wake up. All right, Steve. Thank you, man. You made me smile.
Yeah, they go to a place called Heredity.
That's right. It's called,
it's Heredity.
It's called jeans.
Yes, exactly. Mm. Right.
Not the denim kind.
Right. Does that suggest that Rob Halford also goes to the same
Yes.
barber?
He went to Heredity also.
Did you know, and it's fine, you know, I don't mean this in any other way.
No, I didn't know, actually. I know what you're going to ask, I bet. No,
yeah.
I had no idea, but
okay.
go on. All same
right.
with Freddie Mercury. I had no idea.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, so I knew what you're going to ask.
Right. I
didn't know. First of all, it's crazy. Rob Halford, who I thought was the most macho guy in the whole world.
Right.
I'm telling you, this guy was tough. This guy wore leather. This guy wore spurs. He'd be backstage sometimes with spurs on his feet.
Right.
I'd be afraid to get near him because I'd get nicked by a spur.
Right.
I mean, So no, yeah,
he drove a Harley out on stage.
Right. This is why they made balloons.
You know, look, I know way more about this now than I did then, but you know, clearly I have no gaydar because Queen, Freddie Mercury, Queen never put that together.
It's called Queen.
Elton John right. never put that one together.
Nope.
You know,
he dressed like a duck on stage. Come on.
Rob Halford, I was real surprised. But he has a book out now.
Yeah.
He says the only time he was with a woman was when he had a group thing with a husband.
Oh.
And a wife.
Gotcha.
And he was a Marine, and he would go to the base and
right.
have a good time.
Is it a role play, or was it actually a Marine went to the base?
He was arrested in L.A.
Oh.
In a men's room, and he thought that it would be exposed then, you know, the secret.
Yes.
And the cops were good to him. They let him go and didn't release it to the press.
Nice.
Jimmy, have you ever had that kind of thing where you learned something about the artist backstage and thought, well, no one can find this out ever?
No, no. Honestly, the only secret that we, and I mentioned it a few weeks ago, the only backstage secret that we always had to keep was what Kiss looked like without their makeup on.
Right.
I mean, that was a religion. If you, in some way, allowed the public to see what Kiss looked like without makeup, you were out of business with them, and you got fined $10,000.
Wow.
And that was in the contract.
Wow.
And when they did their sound check, they did their sound check without their makeup on, and we would have to get 20 security people. You know, I always think of the New Haven Coliseum when I think of concerts. And so we used to rim the Coliseum around inside in the aisleways and make sure nobody could walk into the arena itself while they were doing their sound check. And otherwise, I got fined $10,000, and that would be my last Kiss show.
It'd be so funny to see Kiss playing on stage with, like, paper bags over their head like the Unknown Comic.
Holes cut out for the eyes.
Exactly right.
And then now it's all about recordings, right? You can't come in with your phone or whatever, you know, certain artists. So Van Halen was doing a sound check at one of your shows, Jimmy. It was a Chaz and AJ Presents Van Halen.
Oh, my God.
In Hartford, and we were on the Hartford station there. So we were doing live breaks, and the sound check happens. I'm like, Van Halen's my favorite band. I'm not going to leave it to AJ to carry this afternoon show on the radio.
No, of course not.
Station. I'm going to miss the sound check. Ugh. AJ, you go and have fun, but please make a little video that we could post.
Right.
So right before they go in, they say, no video.
Yes.
Phil, you want to pick it up from here?
Yes.
Phil, so I walked in with AJ, and I'm like, you know, maybe I can't get a video, but I will get the audio, and maybe we can use some of that. So I have my phone just kind of like peeking out of my pocket, and it's recording audio, and we're 10 feet from the front of the stage.
We were so
close. It was incredible.
Wow.
Yeah. So I can't believe I didn't do that.
And AJ's standing next to me, and he's like, do you think we're getting it? I'm like, stop. I'm like, don't talk over it. So we're just sitting there and enjoying, like, it was awesome. Because there's maybe 20 people that were getting to experience this that, like, weren't on staff. And we were among that group. So it was really special.
Uh-huh.
And as we're walking out, I just wanted to stop it. And she saw me take my phone out. She goes, you got to delete that. I was like, no, I wasn't recording. She's like, delete it now.
You're forgetting.
And I was like, you know what? I'm not even going to argue with you. I'll, I'll just delete it.
You're forgetting.
If we get kicked out before the show, like, this is going to be so much.
You're forgetting
worse.
One most important detail. As we're walking away, he goes, I can't believe I got it. I can't believe I got it. And I'm going, dude, shut up, right? And he's got his phone in his hand. He was excited. He got it, right? And I'm going, dude, I go, don't say anything because I'm just saying that all of a sudden we got popped.
Not to rob a bank with. We robbed the bank. We run out.
Yeah.
And AJ's going to run up and show all the money. He's running out.
No.
How much money?
I got it. I'm not the one. You got Babbles over here.
Right. I'm not a good criminal.
No. Okay. Yeah, Babbles did it. I was keeping it cool.
All right. We got some phase three news coming up. Jimmy Koplik's on the show. Chris from Torrington is calling in. Lita Ford at Agora. Were you booking shows at Agora?
We did for a few years, and I believe that Lita Ford show might have been ours. Lita Ford was the exact opposite of what she was on stage. She was very mommy-like and very wonderful and very kind, but when she got on stage, she took a completely different persona on. She was very cool. She was very cool, Lita Ford. Very nice, very homey. But gosh, when she got on stage, she was a rock goddess.
What a scene that was there. Whaley Avenue, you had Agora, you had Great American Music Hall across the street.
Wow.
And right down the street and around the corner, you had Toads. You had a bunch of other smaller places, but three big clubs that can hold hundreds of people.
Cool weekends, huh?
And it was a hot music scene. It was, you know, Jimmy was cooking at the Coliseum, and it was a great time
wow.
in music.
What a shame.
We got to take a break, and we're going to talk to Jimmy about Phase 3. News on that, October 8th. How does that affect him and us and
yes.
what's coming? Right, Jimmy Copley, Live Nation concert got on the show. We're going to talk Phase 3. Going to take some of your questions about shows in Connecticut. But during the break, we were talking about Rodney Dangerfield. Jimmy was very close to him.
Oh.
And we're going to start next week's segment off with that. Tribute
awesome.
To Rodney Dangerfield.
I love Dangerfield.
Yep, the best.
From the text, Ashley.
Oh, we have a lot.
Thank you.
So, because we were talking about Bon Jovi, this one, I don't know who it's from. Bon Jovi at the Civic Center, early 80s, Skid Row was the opener.
Oh, Jersey bands.
Oh, yes, Skid Row. Gosh, I'm glad they didn't ask me about Skid Row in Springfield. That was a disaster when we had Skid Row in Springfield. I think they might have been opening up for Bon Jovi that night, too. But we'll get to that some other show.
Why not now?
we're all here.
I think we all agree, and even whoever sent that text would want to hear this story better, more.
Well, the illustrious lead singer of Skid Row...
Bastion?
Yeah, had a real big drinking problem back in the day. He's on stage, and somebody pisses him off in the audience, and he takes... a bottle, and he throws a bottle into the audience.
Oh.
And of all the people to hit, he hits the police chief of Springfield's daughter in the head.
Right
I
in the face.
I remember this story.
Yeah, someone tossed him, he tossed it back, yep.
Yeah.
That was an older magazine, yep.
He tosses it back, hits the police chief's daughter in the head. He gets arrested after his set, goes down to the jail. We bail him out, set up a court date, and you will never see Skid Row again in Springfield because... He never showed up for the court date.
Why did he get 18 in life?
So he can't.
Which
he can't go to Massachusetts.
Because
period.
If you threw a bottle and hit the police chief's daughter in the head with it,
yeah,
you're not going to get a good result.
No, you're not. No,
that feels like a lawsuit or a settlement.
Yes, it was a lawsuit. It was settled, but the criminal side was never settled. Only the civil side was settled.
Oh boy! So if he ever drives through Massachusetts, he's doing the speed limit.
Yes,
or riding in the car, not driving it.
Right. Holy crap.
Yep.
All right. On the phone, let's go with Ray in Brantford. Led Zeppelin, Yale Bowl, 1971.
Oof.
Well, I was still in college then in Ohio, so that was not my show. So I have no memory of it whatsoever.
There you go.
I had a bootleg album of that show. Ugh. So great.
It is pretty amazing, though. This, you know, how many people have really ever seen Led Zeppelin? I've only seen a little of a Led Zeppelin show because I went to the Atlantic Records 50th anniversary show and Led Zeppelin played at it. So they did three songs. But that's as much as I've seen Led Zeppelin.
And was John Bonham alive?
No. I don't think John Bonham was alive. It was in 88 or 89. I think John Bonham had died by then.
Yeah, he did because I was supposed to see Led Zeppelin. I had tickets for the show and he drank himself to death.
All right. Let's talk to Scott from Windsor. He was at that show you were talking about, Jimmy.
Morning, guys.
Hey. And you were very close to the girl who was hit?
Yeah. My buddies were like 4 feet away from it. I didn't go that night because I was playing varsity hockey and I had a game the next morning and I didn't want to miss my game, missing practice. So my buddies had ticket. They sold my ticket and then they called me as soon as they got out and told me what happened. They were right there, and I think it was Aerosmith they were opening up for, if I remember correctly.
Was there blood? Yeah,
you're
or
right.
Just
it, well, you're right. It was Aerosmith. It was Aerosmith, and it was 1989.
Wow.
It was 1989, and I hope you're now a professional hockey player, because looking back, you probably would have been better off going to the concert.
Yeah, no, not even close.
All right, Scott. Thank you, man. Appreciate that. Before we let you go, we got to talk about Phase 3 because that's big news. Phase 3 coming October 8th.
Yes, I was very pleased to see that the governor is going to allow indoor concerts. I don't know how many states in America are doing this. I don't know of another one. He's going to allow a 50% capacity. We are starting to work on the possibility of opening up Xfinity indoors. We had thought of doing Oakdale, obviously, would be our initial thought. But we have an event there called Magic of Lights, which is one of those holiday tree things that you drive through that I guess we'll be announcing shortly, but I've just announced it. Of course, I screwed up again. But we'll be announcing it shortly that we're doing a Magic of Lights, it's called. So that will take up a lot of the parking lot area of Oakdale in November and December. So if we're still able to do indoor shows in January, we'll move our indoor shows down to Oakdale. In the meantime, we're going to start working on seeing the rules, the regs that the governor wants us to work on. And I have some hope that in November and December, we might have indoor shows in Connecticut.
Oh, boy, that's very exciting.
We'll be at 50% capacity. We will follow all the rules and governor wants us to follow, which we're supposed to hear by October 6th. I spoke to them yesterday, and they're going to have the protocols all set up by October 6th. So we're just waiting to see what they are, and we'll move from there. But there's light at the end of the tunnel.
All right. That's great news. And everything from this segment with Jimmy will be all lumped together. It will be our pod pick today. And you can get it at WPLR.com, 95.9thefox.com. We're linked up to all things Jimmy Coplick on the radio station website. Thank you, brother.
You got it, guys. Speak to you next week.